The love never ends. Where there is no vision. So honored that you were with us for those joining online. We're honored that you're with us for those here in our home. We're so honored that you're with us. Thank you for coming to this just to come together for corporate worship. And it's truly a blessing to have us. We're in here a little tight, kind of sardine feel.
That's all right.
I'm blessing God to be here together.
Amen.
So, everybody, to get one more quick hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Understand you're welcome here with the family. Gotta kick your shoes off. Comfortable in the corner or run around the room. Because we act a fool for God. But as I was listening to the songs, I just heard rejoice in his presence. So it took me to Psalm 68, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. And it says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. You heard that. Sets the solitary in families. Don't know it, don't matter what you're going through, you're not by yourself. You're set in a family.
Amen.
A family of believers. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. You're not bound in suffering. You're prosperous. You're going forward. You're prosperous because the king who rides in the cloud says you are prosperous. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Tell us, don't rebel. Don't rebel against what God has for you. He's calling you out. He called you to come here and share in corporate worship today. So open your hearts, open your minds to hear the word of God. So as we're preparing to hear the word of God, I'm going to take the opportunity and honor that I always have to introduce our beloved apostle, the shepherd of this, the visionary of this ministry, who has led us, who has prayed for us, who has just been a mother, has been a friend, has been a sister, has been an aunt, has been an aunt. That's I joke. I brought joke with Minister Ian. He said that he thought apostle was his aunt after he had his. But miracles happen. Miracles happen. We recognize family, but we are family. And we are a tight-knit family, so I thank God for all of you squeezing in today. So I'm going to ask you all, if you have a little bit elderly woman, to stand with me real quick, and just as I introduce and welcome forward our beloved, excited apostle, Adam.
When I saw him come to the door, and I was staring at him, you know, forgive me. It was all with love. It was all with love. Remind me of my grandson. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Well, folks, guess what I am today? I am so excited. For those of you that are online, you can't see the number of people that we have here in the room today. And like Elder Mark said, you know, we're kind of crowded in here, and that's a good feeling.
Yes.
Amen.
That's a good feeling. But then I think there's about 17 of us here today, and I'm happy that y'all can see the family that, you know, are those that are out of town, those that couldn't make it here today. But praise God, we are family. We are family. We are one in the spirit. Praise God. And I do thank the Lord for it. I do thank the Lord for it. So let me just go before the Lord in a quick moment here, and then we'll continue on with the series that we've been doing. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, I honor you, I bless you, I magnify your holy name, oh God, because you truly are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and there is none like you. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, yes. Lord God. I thank you for leading us and guiding us. We're in the place, Lord God, that you ordained for us to be on this day. But this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, some have come with heavy hearts, oh God. Some have come not feeling well in their bodies. Some have come, Lord God, with their minds being disturbed. But in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that every need that we have shall be met. Because of what you did on the cross for us, Lord God. Absolutely. So we thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for salvation, which brings for us eternal life. Father, we thank you. There is none like you. Where could we go, Lord God, but to you? What would we do, Lord God, if it weren't for you? Praise be unto God. Father, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something that I probably wouldn't have done if we were online today. Because just as I was praying and we said that there was none like him, I keep pointing to that screen. You know, so forgive me. But whatever is happening on the screen, me, Thank Lord. Thank Lord, everybody. In the prayers and listening to the background that was played. And as I was praying, and I said, there's none like you. God did for me just now what he did years ago when we were singing that song, and I was thankful for him. And as we sang, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Well, as we sang that, Holy Spirit began to sing to me and saying to me, there is none like you. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and never find someone like you. And I'm telling you, that just did something to me. So, that's the job. That's what you call on. Your pastor calls on you. That's what you call on. I'm going to ask you if you would please to lead us in that song. I want us as a congregation to sing that song. And after we sing it the first time, what I want you to do, if you can look at each other and begin to sing to them. But there's none like them. I'm expecting God to do something. Yeah. I'm expecting him. So if you wanna stand here, darling, come so that you stand here. And come. Those of you that got a voice,
render it unto the Lord.
Maybe there's none like you. Thank you. No one can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and my there is none like you. Praise God.
Thank you.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and there is none like you.
Do it again, Lord God.
There is none like you.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and my life there is not like you.
Now tell me now, my imagination, when somebody started looking at you regularly and some of that, he didn't know something.
Yeah.
Still, that, yeah, Lord, that meant me. You're talking about me. You're talking about me. And even though what Christ did for us, he did for the whole world, but he wanted each one of us to know, I just have to be individual. There's none like you. If there was nobody else on earth when he had to go to the cross,
yeah,
but me, but you, if nobody else was here, he would have suffered, bled, and died, and importantly, rose again, so that you could be set free. How could we not worship God like that?
Man,
how could we not? Praise be unto God. So I do give him all the glory and the honor.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. For the last 4 weeks or so, we've been going through the different portions of the Lord's Prayer. And I had mentioned to you before that this is known as the Lord's Prayer. However, this is not his prayer. Okay? This is a model of how to pray. His prayer is John, as it is 10. 10, 17, 10, that's 17. His prayer is in John 17. That's what he prayed. But he was telling his disciples, this is the way that you should pray. And I mentioned before that we teach our children this prayer. You know, we teach each other the prayer. And as I'm studying it, it came to me that this I called it last week, a recipe. This is a recipe for prayer. Now understand this. In fact, I just tried a new recipe. I told my family over here yesterday. I saw a recipe on TikTok and I read the recipe. And I'm telling you, I said, Now I could have sat there and read that recipe all day long. It was not going to make that casserole, put it something together, get in my oven and on my table so I can eat it, okay? I had to take part in it, something I had to do. This is a recipe, a model on how we should pray. And you can sit here and say this prayer all day long to no avail, get no effect, because all you're doing is reciting a prayer, okay? But you're not doing what it says. You're not concentrating and meditating on what it's telling us to do. There is action that we are supposed to take as we read the Lord's Prayer. Now, there are seven petitions in that prayer, seven petitions. And the first three are to God. The first three petitions are to the Father. The next four petitions are to us, okay? And so looking at in Matthew 6 of y'all's, I want to go to where you can find the prayer. Matthew 6, and I'm just going to do the part up into where we are today, but it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be whose name? Thy name. Okay? So, let's stop there for a minute. When we say our Father in heaven, that right there distinguishes him from what? From us or what else? Our earthly father. It distinguishes from our earthly father. We're not praying to our earthly father. We're praying to him that is in heaven. Then it said, hallowed be thy name. As we look at the petitions And I told you the first three are to God. You will know them by the word either thy or your, depending on what version of the Bible you use. So first of all, how do we hallow someone's name? How do we hallow?
Make it holy, give honor.
Honor,
reverence.
Devotion, reverence. So when we say in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, we are to give honor to him. When it, and after a while, it comes natural. You know, when I start praying, and y'all know that I normally say, you know, you are Abba Father, you are the great I am, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, you are Jehovah Nisi, the banner over which us, which is love, you are Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness, you are Jehovah Shalom. I'm hallowing his name, okay? So we are to do that, not just say that, hallowed be your name. He wants you to hallow his name. He wants you to honor his name. So hallowed be thy name. That's the first position. Petition. Thank you, beloved. Then is your kingdom come. Okay?
Yes, yes.
That's it. Your kingdom come.
Yes.
Let us not deal and dwell with what's going on in our kingdom. Let your kingdom come. And let it, your will be done. All right. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So hallow thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. That's what we have to do in the beginning of the prayer. Then it comes to us and it says, give us this day. Now you can start praying about yourself, but you go before God and you honor him and you bless him first and foremost. And I thought, see, here I go again. I thought about this. How many times have your children, especially when we have, well, the little ones too, and not teenagers, they come, mommy, you know, you are so nice. Mommy, you know, you look daddy, I just love you. What's the first thing you say after you hear that?
What do you want?
What do you want? All right. So God has given us the opportunity to hallow his name.
Yeah.
Tell him how good he is,
yeah,
how sweet he is,
yeah,
how wonderful he is. And then after that, we can tell him what we want.
Yeah.
Okay. What we want, what we need from him. So it comes into give us this day our daily bread. We went over that part last week. Give us this day our daily bread. What are your daily needs for today? Don't just say give us our daily bread, because my bread today may not be your bread.
Yes.
Okay. So define what your bread is. Tell them what it is. And in fact, that line is a line for provision. God, make the provision for me today. I need money to pay bills. I need transportation. I need this. I need that. That is a line of provision. Tell them what you want. Amen.
Amen.
Then we come to the part and forgive us. This is where we are in the prayer now. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts. So let me say first and foremost that when Christ went to the cross, praise God, when he went to the cross, he forgave us for present sins, past sins, and what else?
Future
sins. He forgave it for us. He forgave us for those things. One of the things I want you to note in this prayer, that after we ask for his will to be done and him giving us our daily bread, our provision, then it says, and connects something to it, okay? So forgive us, or give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our debt, okay? Forgive us for those things. So as we're speaking to God, and as we're asking him for what it is that we want, we also are saying, I need you to forgive me. And you said, but you just said he forgave me for all my future sins. Why am I asking him to forgive me? First of all, because his word tells us to ask for forgiveness. I got news for y'all, news. Just because you got saved, just because you are sanctified, just because you are justified, just because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you think you didn't sin after you got saved, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. You're a liar and the truth is not in you, okay? We all still sin. Let me make a notation here. All still sin, but we're not all sin. And people have a difficult time with that. Anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior is a sinner. We are saints who have committed a sin, but we have something that the unsaved do not have. We have something that they don't have. And that's important for you to know, that in this prayer, and I'm going ahead of myself already, but I'll say it because we mentioned the word family. This prayer, and as we are praying it, it's for family. Whose family? The body of Christ. That is the family. We are his adopted children. We are the ones, okay? Selected and not neglected. We are the one. And when God told us in this Jesus, when Jesus made the petition that forgive us our debts, this is the only one that the Father, so important that Jesus went back and said more about it later down in Matthew. Now, let me be sure I got this right. In Matthew 6 still, in verse 12, I believe it is. You got your Bible there, baby? Tell me what verse 12 says.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Right. Okay, that's what we're dealing with right now. But then we go down to 14 and 15, and it says what? Go ahead.
If men their trespasses, Heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Go ahead.
But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Reality check.
Yes.
Reality check. Yes. Reality check. If God did not, if once what Jesus did on the cross, if that was it, and we no longer had to ask for forgiveness, he would not have told us to forgive, you know, that forgive men their trespasses. And as we do so, he will forgive us. So he made provision for every sin we would commit. He made that provision for us. And it is a shocking thing to think that if I have an ought against my sister, and I'm supposed to be saved, Holy Spirit dwells within me. He lives in it. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm mad at this woman. I'm angry with her. She has hurt me. And I go to God and I ask God for this, that, and the other. I praise the Lord. I speak with my holy jargon. I speak in holy spiritual tongues. And so forth, you would never know I wasn't saved. But I'm walking around with bitterness and hatred in my heart for this woman. How can the God in you be doing what he's supposed to be doing in you? And you are full of hatred and bitterness. You represent the exact opposite of what he is in you, what he is. As humans, we have a deep need for forgiveness. Yes, a deep need for it. We go to God, we ask him, and if it wasn't a need for it, he never would have sent his son. And what was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of him letting his only begotten son come and be crucified, to be cursed at, to be spit on, and all the things he went through? What is the purpose of that if God himself didn't see a need? He knew the people had to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So he made the provision for that. We are asking for a pardon of our sins. And the forgiveness follows the word give, basically. And like I said, it connects to the daily bread. We are requesting daily forgiveness. Every single day, you need to be asking God for forgiveness. Whether you think you sinned or not. Because some of us sin and don't know we're sinning. Some of us sin and don't know we have a thought that totally was not of God. And we sin. We saw some fine young thing walk by. My. And went on about your business. You just lusted after that. For those of you who are like me, I'm a foodie. Love to eat. God help me. Y'all get it all the time. I'll pray for you, Pastor, okay? I keep telling you, pray for me. I love to eat. However, I know there are things I should not eat. And what is sin to me, some cases may not be sin to you. But when I see certain foods and I know I'm not supposed to do it and I do it, I have just sinned. Hello. We hear confession. Doesn't the word tell us to confess our sins one to another? Y'all can go ahead and start confessing, okay? She likes candy bars. Somebody else chocolate. Somebody know I like cheesecake. Ice cream. Okay, whatever your sin is, okay? Okay, all right. You see that?
We don't have none of those today, so.
Oh, yeah. So you then, daily, you're asking God to forgive you. Daily, you're asking him to make provision for you. So as we do this and saying, forgive us of our wrongdoing, because we are guilty of the things that we've done, as we ask him for this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Christians can and do still sin, and they stand in the need of daily confession and forgiveness. They stand in the need of it. Now, when you think about you needing forgiveness, what about those that have hurt you? Those, again, that have offended you? Don't you think they need the same thing that you need? They need the same thing. I know in ministering to someone, and they told me, you know, that there was a deep hurt, and they just couldn't seem to find it within themselves to forgive. And I ended up telling them that nothing anybody does to any one of us is greater than the sin that we committed against
Christ. Amen.
And we don't mind running to him and asking for forgiveness. And we expect him to do so. But then when somebody comes to us, not having it. We can take three attitudes, three stances when it comes to forgiveness. One is, I can't. You don't know what it is. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what he did to my children. You don't know what he did to my mother. You don't know what he did. And in this, he told them that when we forgive others, then we can claim our own forgiveness. Now that's something, a new place I want you to stand in, okay? We've read these things, these verses, but never took them to heart. But think. I almost said something here. Think that the person that offended you is causing you not to receive your blessing because you didn't forgive. How can you make the claim of what Jesus has for you if you won't let the Jesus in you do what he wants to do for that person? That same rapist God went to the cross for, Jesus went to the cross for. That molester, that man in domestic violence, that drug addict, that prostitute, no different than any one of us. And I don't know all of your history, or maybe I do know all of your history, but how many of us may have walked down those same streets? How many of us were doing the same thing that the person we don't want to forgive, that we won't forgive them for, walk down those streets and ask God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Sometimes we excuse our lack of forgiveness on the grounds of the fact that the person that wronged us does not deserve our forgiveness. They don't deserve it. When God said, or when Jesus said in this prayer example, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, forgive us as we forgive. It didn't say, Lord, forgive me my trespasses, and I will try to forgive those who offended me. He didn't give us that right to say, I will try to. He told us to do what he said to do there. In Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35, that is the parable about the unforgiven servant. And in fact, okay, I'll read that, the unforgiven servant. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And when he had began to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment would be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And then the master went out. I'm sorry. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him from those debts and forgave him his debts. But that servant then went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay it all. And he would not have patience, but he went and threw him into the prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you of all the debt because you begged me. Should you have not also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was owed to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if you, from your heart, do not forgive your brother's transgression or trespasses. I was saying, Father, how many times was there someone in my life that I may not have been able to forgive? And I had to do exactly what the story said. I had to do it last week. Standing in church, hearing a sermon being preached about those that offend us and how we also are the offenders. And there was someone there that offended me. They hurt my spirit deep down inside. And it's been a year since it was done. And whenever I see the person, they greet me with love. Hi, Apostle. I love you, Apostle. And lo and behold, they walked up to me that Sunday, hugged me, and I couldn't put my arms down. They hugged me and said, I love you, Apostle. I said, praise the Lord. And I couldn't say, I love you best. I couldn't. And I am being convicted the whole time. I am being convicted. So the Holy Spirit told me, you must. And so after I got home and went through my battle, me and the Holy Spirit talking, I don't know how he wins every argument we have, because I think I'm a good debater. I think I'm very good at influencing people. I think I know the right words to choose when I'm talking to him. But he wasn't falling for it. He won. So I had to call that person and tell that person that I was offended a year ago. And let me tell you, one of the first things they said was, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I held that in me. And hostility was growing in me for what that person said to me. And that was eating away at me. And every time I heard that person's name, every time I would see that person, that flame of hatred and bitterness just turned up more and more and more. And see, and at first when I saw them after the incident happened, I was able to still wrap my arms around and say, I love you too. But as the flame got turned up more and more and more, honey, like, and I see them coming, that ball, not here, not today. Don't even bother me. Don't even bother me. But God put me in a place Sunday where I could not let it go on any further. And it's not because he wants to do something for them. Understand that he wanted to do something for me. My relationship with him was damaged, was questioned, or a bridge coming between me and God. And that's the word I was looking for, beloved. It was hindered because I would not be obedient to the word. So my relationship was hindered. Did I find it any surprise that throughout that year, that as I pray for each one of you and so forth and so on, that I didn't pray for this person? Did it surprise me that more and more, not only did I not pray for that person, there were times when throughout the day I didn't pray at all. Relationship being hindered. You know, God anointed each one of you with purpose in mind for you to do something, for you to accomplish something. And your purpose is hindered by your sin, as little as they are or as big as they are. Sin is separating them. So I told them, and without them asking me for forgiveness, I let them know, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I forgive you. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. And wherever and however I offended you, now I'm asking you for forgiveness. I'm asking you for forgiveness. The plate was clean. There was such a release and relief that went on in my spirit once that was done. Sweetie, I don't know who has hurt you, who has offended you, who has done anything to you. All I want to ask you, is there anyone you know that did anything to you worth you not having a good relationship with God? How dare us give them that kind of control and that type of power over us? Yeah. How greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world? And then when we talk, and this story here where it said the king had compassion on the first servant that owed him so much, and that he couldn't forgive the guy that owed him very little in comparison. Very little in comparison. He had compassion. Darlings, don't we know that everybody, and I do mean everybody, from mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, to your pastor, to your teachers, to your best friend, everybody that has ever hurt you and offended you were in a hurt place themselves. They were in a hurt place themselves. And the God in you ought to have compassion for them. Amen. So when this brother here is looking at the things, and I said there were three positions we can take, I can't. Most of the time it's not I can't. It falls into the second category. I won't. We say that we can't, but it comes into the category is I won't forgive them. I have a choice here. And I will not forgive them. When we refuse to forgive, this part of the Lord's Prayer then becomes a curse to us. You know, we're hurting ourselves because it says, forgive me my debt as I forgive others. So you're saying it, well, if I don't forgive them, just don't you forgive me. Don't you make provision for me. And that's exactly what can happen if we don't attend to the prayer the way it's supposed to be done. Then the next part is dealing with the fact that I am willing. I am willing. How many of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom? She has a book called The Hiding Place. I knew you did. I know you did. Corrie Ten Boom, and the Westerns know of her. Okay. And dealing with the things that she dealt with, you know, with the concentration camps and all that she had to deal with. She wrote that it was in a church service in Munich when she saw him, the guard who had stood guard at the shower door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room filled with mocking men, the heaps of clothing, the pain on my sister's face. And this jailer, now this happened to them years ago, but this jailer comes to her and says to her, how grateful I am for your message, Fraulein, to think that, as you say, he has washed away my sins. Now this man since then now has gotten saved, and he's speaking that Jesus has washed away his sins. His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to people the need of forgiveness, kept my hand at my side. And when I read that, all I could see was me standing in the sanctuary last week when that woman hugged me, and I kept my hands at my side. Could not lift her. Could not look at her. Didn't want her near me. So the story goes on, Even as the anger, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, and I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Please give me your forgiveness. And as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. And while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness anymore or on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but it's on his. It's on his. And when he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command of love itself. He gives it himself. Thanks to God, as we say in that prayer, that line, forgive us our debt. We forgive our debtors. Be sure you are forgiven your debtors. Be sure you let nobody come between you and God. Be sure. Am I telling you now that if you don't forgive someone, and this is after you are saved, am I telling you that if you don't forgive someone, that right there is a person for you to end up in hell? No, I'm not telling you that. But let me tell you this. With that being said, it can cause a separation. Like I said, it can cause you not to live up to your purpose. It can cause all kinds of damnation for you and so forth. But the biggest thing that I think we should look at is, are we really saved? There's so many of us in the body of Christ that are saying we are Christians. We are Christians, and yet we live a life that lessens and shows Satan's activity instead of the activity of our Father. Our Father said that he made us in whose image? His image.
Yes.
Of course, sin made us now in the place with Adam and Eve, them sinning. From that point on, we were now made in the image of a fallen man, Adam and Eve. So when we were born, we were not born in his image. That's why we are reborn, so we can come back to the place in the image of God.
Amen.
Beloved, be encouraged in the Lord. Go today and start forgiving any and everybody. And don't just make it a mouth. Go before God. That's right. It's got to be a heart action. It's got to be heart. There are those of us, I'm telling you, that are in relationships that are driving us crazy. Divorces, about to be divorces, where adultery has been committed and friendships have been broken because a friend lied on you and so forth. So much that we carry. But God tells us to come to him and lay those cares at his feet. You know, when I saw Apostle Roslyn come in and got the big bag and this, that, and the other, and that's a burden that she had to carry. But when she got to a certain spot, she took that bag off of her. She unloaded the burden. Amen. I'm beseeching you in the name of Jesus that you go forth today and unload your burden. And ask God for the forgiveness as you forgive others, and then repent. What does repent mean, saints?
Turn
away from. Don't just seek the forgiveness. Now you got to put forth the effort to turn away from those very sins that you committed. Once you are saved, once you are reborn, you are a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus. You are now the Son of God. You no longer say, I can't or I won't. Because in Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And he has asked us to do it now. Let's give God a praise. Take them to the Lord's Prayer. Show them the model. Show them. I tell you, when I first started looking at all of the breakdown of the prayer, and I did this years ago, where I could only pray for 5 minutes, and normally when I went to pray, you know, Father, I thank you, you know, for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way, blah, blah. And then now, Lord, I want to tell you everything I need and give me, and I'm out of there. Okay, I'm finished. That's it. Nothing else. I got nothing else to say. I'm done. All right. When I heard this breakdown, probably in the early 80s, that's how long ago I've known. And when I began to break it down, I was like, okay. And I said each one of those things and did those verbally first out of my mouth before I actually took the action. That 5 minute prayer turned into 15 minutes. Then it turned into 25 minutes. Then it turned into a half hour, and a newbie could do it. The one that I really like was, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, first of all, in heaven, I'm healed. I'm totally healed. So Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in me as a female, as a woman. Let your will be done here on earth as you see me already in heaven. Let your will be done in me as a wife. Let your will be done in me as a mother. Let your will be done in me as a pastor. Let your will be done in me as a neighbor in my neighborhood, as an employee where I work, as the employer who's I. Let your will be done. Yeah. When you start adding all those components where you want his will done, before you know it, sons and daughters, you will be praying and you will be worshiping God and you will be thanking him that his son Jesus took the time to tell us. Amen. Last Sunday, I was still having issues. Still having issues. God is patient. But don't make the excuse that his patience. Don't make the excuse of his grace that I can go out and sin and do this again. Who was it? In our prayer, 6 o'clock in the morning, Brother Brandon from our town. Brother Brandon mentioned, praise be unto God, because he was leading a prayer that day. You know, the struggles that he had with pornography and perversion when it came to sex and so forth and so on, and how God delivered him and so forth. And you know, he's a happily married man with children and so forth. And he was in a group where there were a bunch of men and they were talking, and how God has convicted him when it comes to the whole porn thing and so forth. And so he doesn't do that anymore. And one of the brothers in the group said, I'm sorry, man. Don't push all of your convictions off on me. Now, this man is saved. In fact, I think the man was a minister as well. He said, I still love my Playboys, and I look at them every chance I get in the Playboy channel. And so when I'm finished, I ask God to forgive me. Thank God. Thank you, God. Our God will not be mocked, okay? He will not be mocked. How many of us? How many of us have done the same thing? We may not have been bold enough to say it out of our mouth. But I know how many times, I don't know how many times, but what about the time you wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind? And you say, God, you go sit over on the shelf in the corner, okay, I'll be back. I got to take care of this. You want to take care of it in your flesh. You want to cuss them out. You want to hit them. You want to do whatever it is you want to do. And then when you finish, you go over in the corner and help me, God, I'm back. You and I can talk now. You know, we have a funny way. The world and our lack. God wants us. Has allowed us to just become so insensitive and sad. You know, like we're ashamed to be holy. We're ashamed to mention God's name wherever we go. It's just, we just don't care anymore. And our government officials have allowed them, you know, in our nation, you know, to the extent that we can't even identify, you know, and politically correct. You don't want to be so politically correct that you actually let them come in your living room and do whatever it wants to do in your house. In my house. And as for me, in my house, come on, say, that's all I'm asking you to do.
I'm doing it for the third time. By awesome word, beloved and people, we give God glory for standing before Him to get what it is that He and you are giving to us. So. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. We ask that you touch her muscles, touch her body, that she can, God, just give her comfortability, Father God. Any pain that she may be experiencing right now, Lord God, we ask that you touch her back right now, Father God. Give her relief in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your servant. We thank you for our woman of God. We thank you for our leader, Lord God. And Lord, we look forward to seeing everything that you are going to do in her and through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Excuse me one second before you go any further. It's Elder West.
Yes.
Son, I want you to get up for me and do what it would be, the altar call for our online listeners, please. And put all of those that are here as well. Would you do that for me before?
Those of you who have been watching this, watch it live, even watch it replay. Something that she said maybe resonated with you. You know, you tried to do things in your own way. You tried it, and now you find yourself in the same mess. The hatred that you've been holding, have you listened? The hatred and unforgiveness that you've been holding against others, have you bowed? Yeah, you're walking around. You may have millions of dollars in the bank. You may have hundreds. You may have all this stuff, but inwardly, you are still tormented. I want to encourage you that you have that you have an encounter with Jesus, the living Christ. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about having an encounter in relationship. One thing about kingdom relationship is religion is man's way of seeking God, but kingdom relationship is God in pursuit of man. And when I say man, I'm not talking about the gender. I'm talking about the spiritual being, whether male or female. So I want to encourage you that those of you right now, you may be watching this, God speaks to you. I often say that he doesn't need to interpret it. He doesn't need to translate it. He knows you, and you can talk to him. You might be angry at God. You might want to cuss him out. God is big enough and great enough to handle it. Religious people may get upset, but God is not moved by it because he sees the pain and hurt in your heart. And he's a loving father that's there to reach out to you right where you are. You may be wanting to commit suicide, and you heard this message because of some hurt, deep hurt that you've had, and then you're struggling with it. But God called you to slip onto this, to hear our voice and let you know that you have a purpose. And he has a purpose for you. All he wants you to do is to reach out to him. Not religion. We're not talking. You might say, well, I go to church and I do that. God's not impressed with all that. He sees your heart. Your heart may be far from you. You may do all these religious things, but yet you're still separated. I want to encourage you to reach out to Jesus, the living Christ. And I just want to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to say it exactly the way I do it, because God, again, he speaks to you. You may say, Father, here I am.
Yeah,
I'm messed up. I have all this stuff. Or, Father, I have everything working for me. Bills are paid. I got all this stuff. But inwardly, I'm still empty. I'm broken. I'm in hurt. I'm in pain. And I don't know how to get rid of it. I want to invite you to accept Jesus, the living Christ. And Lord, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And if you meant that from the depths of your heart, I want you to do these things. First, find yourself a Bible, get into the Word of God for yourself. Nowadays, you can get a Bible anywhere. You don't even have to buy them no more. Or just go to the store and buy whatever. Get into the Word of God for yourself. And number two, ask God to connect you with the local body of believers in your area. If you don't have anyone, I see the information on the screen. Reach out and be connected. But be connected. And also, I want to let you know, if you're trying to find a local body of believers to attend or to be fellowship, don't go there thinking that they're all perfect. But they're all just like you. We all still under construction. God is still doing work in our hearts and in our minds. So if you think you found the perfect church, guess what? When you get there, guess what? It just isn't perfect. The only one perfect is the perfect God. He's going to work in all of us. He's perfecting us. He's maturing us day by day. So I want to encourage you, do those two things in that order. Let me say it again. Get into the Word of God for yourself and ask God to connect you with the local body of believers in your area. And guess what? Your life will never be the same again. You can have joy in the midst of pain.
Yes,
you
yes,
can have pain
yes.
And then the joy of the Lord wells up within you. And you can't, you're like, what is this? I'm supposed to be angry. I'm supposed to have the pain. Sometimes you may still have the pain, but yet you will still have the joy of the Lord in that. So be encouraged and welcome to the family of God in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.